time for the Border News Roundup. Each week we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. He's the editor and publisher of the Timberjay. That's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, good to have you back. Thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's start off with a story about a student, a threat at the Northwoods School. What happened?
Yeah, well, a 13-year-old on Tuesday at the school had posted some what appeared to be threatening messages on Snapchat. Basically, I think the thing that caught the attention of most folks was a photo of what appeared to be an assault rifle with the accompanying comment, "Ready for my school, dudes." Not surprisingly, I guess, given the number of school shootings that have taken place around the country, certainly students and some parents were very concerned about this once they learned about it. Of course, as soon as school officials learned about it, you know, they did address it immediately. According to school policy, the child was removed from class and from school. Unfortunately, that might have been the end of it, except that the student started, once he got home, started posting additional comments that appeared to be inappropriate or possibly threatening from home. And the school officials then again contacted the St. Louis County Sheriff's Office, and sheriff's deputies did visit the student's home, talk to the student and his parents. And after investigating it more thoroughly, law enforcement determined that the threat was not credible. You know, it was just a 13-year-old kind of shooting off his mouth, I guess, or his finger, I guess, however you want to determine that. But in the end, they decided it wasn't a credible threat, and the school did inform all parents of the situation on Wednesday morning. There were some parents who did keep their students at home, but most did send their kids to school, and classes were open the next day. And at this point, it's unclear whether or not the student will face any other action. Given the nature of the comments, the sheriff's office did say that the information was going to be forwarded to the St. Louis County Attorney's Office. They'll consider whether or not it's appropriate to press any kind of charges at this point.
Let's move on to another story, Marshall, about the prescribed burn season. What are you finding out?
You know, we've had kind of a moderately dry spring so far. We've got a little bit of rain, but we're definitely running well below average for this time of year, and that's made things actually pretty good for prescribed burning out in the forest right now. I mean, it's kind of always this balancing act with the Forest Service. They don't want it, if it's too wet, you know, they don't really accomplish anything with a fire. If it's too dry, of course, you can be off to the races in a hurry. So they're kind of right in the sweet spot right now, and so they're taking advantage. They've had a couple of fires they've lit up in just the last few days here, one just outside of Ely, burned about 300 acres, and then a smaller one on Lake Vermilion over this past weekend. And basically what they're doing is they're trying to reduce the buildup of fuels, and mostly it's dead balsam. You know, we've had a lot of spruce budworm damage. That combined with some drought in some years has really killed off a lot of balsam fir. Once that dries, that's about the most dangerous fuel you can have in the forest. So they're trying to address that fuel buildup. And they're focusing on areas in particular that are near private property. You know, they don't want fires that could get out of control on federal land, then, you know, going on to a private property and causing damage there. So they're, you know, basically trying to address the threats that they have on their property.
In an economic development story the Timberjay's been working on, tell us what's going on with the Louisiana Pacific siding plant that may come in near Cook. What do they produce?
Well, Louisiana Pacific produces a number of things. On the wood product side, primarily oriented strand board, but also they have a relatively new product called Smart Side, which is a siding product. It's an engineered siding. It's become very popular in the market. I think it's a good product, and it seems like it's really doing well right now. And so the company has been, you know, they've been seeing increased sales of this product, and they're planning right now to increase their production capacity for Smart Side. There was a lot of excitement here back in the fall of 2016 when Louisiana Pacific purchased the former Ainsworth plant. This was an OSB plant that was just outside of Cook, and they had purchased it with the intent of converting it to a Smart Side plant. since then, we've been kind of in a holding pattern, waiting for something to actually happen. The company had initially thought they might be doing something with it sooner, but then they opted to convert an existing OSB plant in British Columbia to the production of SmartSide, and that kind of pushed everything back. And then since then, the Ainsworth facility has been in competition with another former OSB plant in Quebec to see which will be the next one in line. And so far, back in November, the comments from company officials had indicated that they were leaning towards the Quebec site for their next expansion, which would have pushed, you know, any activity or development at the Cook site off until, you know, 2021, 2022, somewhere in that range, which is getting out there pretty far. But the good news is, I guess it's good news here, is that there's a lot of problems right now in Canada with rail transportation. This has been causing problems for Louisiana Pacific, both in terms of delivery of its products to its markets, as well as getting materials that it needs for production of various products to their plants throughout Canada. This has become an acute enough problem that they started to address it, and during a recent investor call here just a couple of weeks ago, they indicated that the situation has got them reconsidering their priorities for opening the next siding plant, and that this is definitely a factor right now that seems to be weighing in favor of the Cook site. So we're hopeful anyway that bad news in Canada may potentially be good news here for northeastern Minnesota. But, of course, we're waiting to determine that. They haven't made a final decision yet, but hopefully in the next quarter they'll probably make a firmer decision. And the bottom line there is that if they opt for the Cook site first, that means we could see, construction starting there possibly as early as next year, you know, and the plant possibly operating late 2019 or 2020, somewhere in that range, which is at least a little bit sooner than what we're looking at right now.
Do you know how big this might be or how many jobs might be needed there then?
Well, they'd be talking about 150 to 160 jobs.
Okay.
So it's, it's a decent-sized plant.
Yeah.
It'd be about on par with the former Ainsworth plant when they were producing OSB there. You know, when that facility closed, it was a big impact on the Cook area economy. You know, those were good-paying jobs, all, you know, well-paid, good benefits. So it's the kind of jobs that we certainly want to see back in the area.
All right, before we go, Marshall, we need to hear about Carter Gulkey. Who is he?
Carter Gulkey is a senior up in Ely. He is a phenomenal pitcher. He has just really come on, and the kid's on fire this year. And he did something that happens very, very rarely in high school baseball, and that's that he pitched a perfect game here last Friday against Virginia, which is impressive in itself because Virginia's a Class 2A team. They're no slouches, that's for sure. And Carter got on the mound and mowed him down one after another. And, of course, a perfect game, for those who don't know, means that you retire every single batter you faced, you know, in order. And that means, you know, no hits, no walks, no reaching on an error, anything like that. So it's a very impressive performance. The last time it's happened, according to the Minnesota State High School League, is back in 2012. You know, so that was 6 years ago. And interestingly enough, the first recorded perfect game, and I know they probably had him before that, but based on their records, they only go back to 1964, and that was a pitcher from Ely again, who pitched a perfect game against Tower Sedan.
Wow.
So that's kind of an interesting little bit of trivia. The interesting thing about Carter Gulkey, too, is he just missed pitching a perfect game here just a couple of weeks ago, and the only thing that prevented it from going perfect was he issued one walk and another runner reached on an error. Other than that, he took everybody down in order. In fact, he had 15 strikeouts in that game, and in this game against Virginia, he had 13 strikeouts. Very impressive pitcher, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few scouts out looking, watching him right now.
It's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can see more at their website, timberjay.com. Marshall, we'll check in with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.